Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at Bruce Allen. You can follow me at Twitter at Bruce Allen. And thank you, my son Arnie, for that music. And thank you for that Father's Day song that I played for you earlier that he did for me. It is time for therapy talk with Dr. Jennifer Weberman. And I want to skip the intro. She is a prominent, well-known psychologist and parent coach who can be found at theparentingplayground.com. Let's leave it at that. We have a big topic, and I know she has a lot on her mind. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Jennifer Weberman.
Hi, Bruce. Thank you for having me. This is such an important topic to talk about, and I really acknowledge you for including it on your show.
Well, thank you. Do you believe that it is a topic that is too often in the closet, so to speak?
Absolutely, and it just adds to sort of the shame and the embarrassment and the guilt that many victims experience, because when we avoid talking about it, we just sort of perpetuate that idea that it's shameful to talk about it.
Well, I'm glad for that reason that we did it. The one thing about both my writing and Dad Chat, as you well know, being a regular, is we literally will go from a very hard topic like sexual abuse to fun and games, which is what's happening at Dad Chat tonight, where we're just doing summer songs. I happen to think that's what life is. It's hard and it's fun, and you can't shy away from the hard stuff, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't have fun as well. So today, unfortunately, or fortunately, we're taking on a hard topic. And I know there's basically two areas you want to cover. The first is when it comes to sexual abuse and we are parents, what do we need to be aware of? How are we as parents going to just know what to look for?
Yeah, it's really important. There's so much focus on educating children about protecting themselves and how parents can help educate children. Mm-hmm. You know, the difference between good touch and bad touch, stranger danger, and all of that. And all of that is important, teaching them to care for and respect their bodies. But what's equally important, if not more important, is educating parents about what to look for and how to respond if their child were to be abused. It's not a child's job to be responsible for keeping themselves safe. It's great if they can advocate for themselves, and it definitely makes them less of a target, because no molester is going to take a risk on a child that they think is going to be outspoken afterwards. But in the end, it's up to adults to keep children safe and to know what to do. So I think it's really important, first of all, for parents to know who perpetrators are. Because sometimes we have an idea in our head of what a perpetrator looks like or acts like.
Yes,
And it's very different than what the reality is. Most perpetrators, I'm talking about the majority of perpetrators, and we're talking about situations where it's been disclosed and there's, you know, a conviction on record, are acquaintances or family members. A very small percentage are strangers. So these are people you know who are responsible for caring for your child or involved in your child's life. In fact, most are acquaintances. I guess up to half, I think, is the most current statistic.
Oh, I thought it was even more.
And then about a third of them are family members.
So altogether, that encompasses
a huge percentage, yes.
Wow.
About a third of perpetrators are juvenile offenders. So these are underaged children abusing younger children. So, you know, you really have to keep in mind that, you know, this is what a perpetrator can be and what a perpetrator can look like.
That's really, really important. It wouldn't have even occurred to me to think in terms of a 14-year-old could be a perpetrator.
Yeah, absolutely. One third of the cases where, you know, it actually gets to a conviction, it's a third of them are just an older child abusing a younger child.
Very good.
You want to pay attention, obviously, to any changes in your child's mood or behavior. Do they seem sort of sullen or withdrawn or moody after returning from a visit with a relative or, you know, a friend's house? Do they seem resistant to spending time with a certain person? Just really being open, asking questions about it. And speaking of being open, the more open your communication is with your child, the more likely it is that if there is abuse that takes place, that they're going to feel comfortable coming to you and telling you about it. So you always want to keep the lines of communication open. There is an amazing thing that I think every parent should watch. It's an interview that Oprah Winfrey did, and you can Google this, Oprah Talks to Child Molesters. It's a 3-part video. It's very long, and it's very graphic. She's interviewing four convicted longtime child molesters on how they groom a child, what characteristics in a child they look for, what characteristics in a family unit they look for, how they go about their process. It's a very honest and raw interview. It's not something children should be watching, but if a parent watches it, it really can help educate them on what makes a child a little bit more vulnerable to these molesters.
Well, that's very, very good tip. Wow, there's so much on this topic.
I know, it's a really full topic.
Continue, I just want to hear from you.
Well, okay, what I think is also important, and this is the second piece of what I said I wanted to talk about, is what to do if, God forbid, the situation were to come up where you find out that your child has been sexually abused. So if they disclose to you that that's what has happened, your reaction to their disclosure, and disclosure is referring to them telling you that they've been abused, is one of the most influential variables in how they heal and get to the other side of this particular event. Statistically, that is what, you know, parents' reaction. So I have, you know, 7 points that I want to make on this. The first is to believe them. Whatever they tell you has happened, you need to believe them, and you need to communicate to them that you believe them. Very, very infrequently will a child disclose an abuse that did not happen. They will, though, recant it if you don't react in a positive way.
Wow. Now, would you say this is a more inviolate when we're talking about a younger kid? Because, I mean, again, teenagers sometimes act out. So I wonder if that's as prevalent among teens that might do something just to get attention.
There's no harm in believing them and communicating your belief to them. There is harm in not believing them when it is, in fact, true.
Well, and the only harm in believing them, if it is something not true, you potentially are accusing somebody of something.
And the courts and the investigators will be responsible for that. As a parent to your child, the relationship is more important than trying to figure out, you know, the long-term outcome of all of this. In that moment of the conversation, you just take your child seriously.
Okay. Go on.
Number two, stay calm. Don't act disgusted or horrified or use any strong adjectives in reference to what happened. This is probably the hardest thing to do because your world is being rocked in this moment and you're having a roller coaster of emotions internally. But if you look horrified, anxious, disgusted, or anything, it just sends the message to your child that what happened was really terrible. So try to stay calm.
That's not going to be easy when you're facing that. So
no,
you got to put on a happy face. You got to act is what
not
you're saying.
Happy.
No, not happy.
Just
but
calm.
Excuse me, I didn't mean that. But you got to put on a you got to act is what you're what you're telling.
You
us.
Really do because it's about them and what's good for them in this moment. And every parent wants what's good for their child. The third thing is after they tell you, you tell them how brave they are for telling you what happened. Because I'm sure it was not an easy thing for them to do, and a lot of children don't tell. So you tell them how brave it was that they told you what happened. Number four, assure them that it's your job to keep them safe. And so, you know, whatever steps you're going to take is to keep them safe. So the message of safety is there. Number five, don't ask leading questions. You're going to have either the I don't want to hear anything reaction or you're going to have I need to know everything that happened reaction. But it's really important not to ask leading questions for a number of reasons. Number one, a child can shut down if you ask too many questions and they don't want to tell you anything or they recant it because it's just overwhelming. Or they can change their story based on your cues and your questions. And that can negatively influence, God forbid this goes to court and there's a case, it can really negatively influence if the child's story is changing. So you just want to listen. Number six, contact a mental health professional who's trained in working with children of sexual abuse. because there's a certain way that they need to be interviewed in a way that's going to allow the child to tell their story without influence, and that's going to be important long term.
And that you probably have to do very quickly.
Yes, yes.
Don't wait.
And there are lots of hotlines available where parents can call and ask questions like what to do if, you know, my child discloses to me. There's 1-866-4-LIGHT, F-O-R-L-I-G-H-T, and they can tell you what the resources are in your community. There's Child Help USA. There's National Child Abuse Hotline. So if you have questions that need to be answered, you can call them and ask your questions.
We're down to 1 minute. What do you want to get in the last minute? Sorry.
Number 7. Remind yourself, this is so important, that with your love and support, plus the guidance of a trained professional, your child can get through this and heal. If you think in your mind that your child has been permanently damaged, it will escalate your own distress, and there's also a link in the research that the higher a parent's level of distress is in this kind of circumstance, the higher the children's level of distress is. You tell yourself that with your love and support and with the help of a professional, your child can get through this.
Wow. Powerful stuff. Thank you, Dr. Weberman. Very quickly, please tell our listeners where they can find you.
I'm at theparentingplayground.com, and on Facebook, we're there under the same name. You can like our page. And on Twitter, I'm there under dr_Weberman.
And you're always at Dad Chat. I hope you'll be at our Summer Songs special tonight.
I won't be there tonight, unfortunately, but I would say 50 out of the 52 weeks a year I am there.
All right. Well, you could tweet a couple songs you like beforehand.
Oh, I can absolutely do that.
Please do that.
For your topic.
Yes, it's a fun topic.
80s rock bands are my thing.
Just make sure you have the hashtag. And remember what I told you about your upcoming vacation. Sunscreen.
And a hat.
Okay, my dear. Thank you so much. We'll be back for some closing remarks after these messages.